Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass Piancy. I'm joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Mr. Bennett Tomlin. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Cass?
Fine. Annoyed today. Particularly annoyed by unhinged conspiracy theorists and racists. So we have discussed both of these types before. We don't need to get into that. But today, we're going to talk about something that we haven't discussed in a really long time. We actually discussed this over a year ago, I guess, something like that. We discussed it with friend of the show, Mario Gibney, who came on to talk about a company at the time that he was working for called Leaden. And while we had him on, we also discussed how he felt philosophically about money. And he was a proponent of effective altruism. So we actually discussed EA before it was even on most people's radar. But I want to talk about it again today because I noticed the other day that William McCaskill, one of the supposed founders of effective altruism, has kind of quietly returned to Twitter and to doing public talks about EA and public talks about his philosophy without addressing any of the stuff that happened with SBF, these other effective altruists involved in cryptocurrency and this other stuff, and how they've been, the philosophy almost seems to help these scammers and fraudsters do their scams and frauds. They justify their scams and frauds using this philosophy. And William McCaskill has just kind of quietly returned without addressing any of that. So I thought it was a good time for you and me to discuss that and try to look into why these scammers and fraudsters are so attracted to this kind of cultish philosophy. So, Bennett, do you want to explain kind of what EA stands for? I know it's arguable and there's differences in opinion, but maybe you can attempt.
Yeah. EA, or effective altruism, is kind of an umbrella term that covers a few different philosophies, most of them that have developed from utilitarianism. For those who don't know, utilitarianism is the collection of moral philosophies that focus on assessing morality by trying to measure the utility of the specific action. So by weighting the good against the bad, you can tell if a thing is good or bad. That's an oversimplification of the different variations of utilitarianism, but it works for our purpose here. Effective altruists take that and basically say, if you're going to be giving back in terms of your time, your money, whatever, you morally should be trying to do that in the most effective way possible. And so there's lots of versions of effective altruism that are relatively harmless, right? Like someone trying to do some research to assess a couple different charities and decide which one is going to have like the biggest impact for your dollar and things like that. The problem becomes that there are a few other groups of EA which have taken that philosophy and built on it even further. And many, like Sam Bankman-Fried, were a part of a group that considered themselves earn-to-give effective altruists. So these are individuals who believe that by building businesses, taking high-paying jobs, whatever, they can, despite not doing a lot of philanthropy or altruism now, can eventually put themselves in a position where they will be able to do lots of philanthropy. And at that point, it will be much more valuable. This also gets complicated because there's this other philosophy that has infected a lot of the EA community called long-termism. And this is the belief that basically future unborn creatures, lives, people, whatever, have the same moral worth as those who are existing today. And in various interpretations of long-termism philosophy, that means often the most effective altruism you can do is by ignoring many of the problems that are currently hurting real living people and instead focusing on various far-off or distance threats which you believe to be existential. And once you've categorized these risks as existential, meaning they threaten the existence of humanity, you are then justified in taking basically whatever steps you need to prevent that existential risk. There are some who come at like the existential risk of climate change, but more often in these communities, you run against people who think we need to like move humanity off of Earth to Mars in order to ensure our existence. That's where Elon
AI,
Musk gets that
AI, people who are concerned about AI taking over, yeah. who are concerned about, you know, Terminator, who are concerned about aliens discovering us or maybe a comet smashing into the Earth. These kind of foreign, broad and scary topics that, right? Like, it's easy to fall into the terrified practitioner of this. There's a great article in Protos from years back about a organization called Lifeboat, and Lifeboat was around before EA existed, but shares many of the same philosophies, and crypto people were super into that as well. So it's like a certain brand of person, a fear-mongering individual, seems to be quite attracted to these. That's not to necessarily suggest, as you said, that it was founded with those principles at top of mind. I do want to talk about, though, how much this affected SBF, the way he did business. In case you're unaware, SBF and Tara McAlay, who founded Alameda Research, they're both effective altruists, and so was Caroline Ellison. So a lot of the people involved in, or she sort of was, I know Sam Trabuco as well, like a bunch of these people who were involved in this were effective altruists, and they took it very, very seriously. There's a document shown in one of these lawsuits or whatever, where it shows that Sam Bankman-Fried made a list of what he was doing that was harming people versus the good that he was doing or future good that he could do, and how he was trying to weigh those concerns and weigh them actually like monetarily. Like, it wasn't just like some weird system that he invented. He was actually weighing every dollar and cent as a good or bad thing. To me, that is proof positive that this philosophy played a key role in how he ended up committing fraud.
Yes, but I think also you should detail how those effective altruists were very specifically involved, like right at the very founding of Alameda Research, because I think that kind of points at some of these issues, right? Because Tara and some of the other people they were able to connect Sam with was the money that got Alameda Research to where it was, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it exactly. And I think the EA community in general was also, a lot of them were the cheerleaders for SBF, right? Because they were also receiving huge benefits from one of the, arguably the biggest known individual person in cryptocurrency in the entire industry, right? Like, the benefits they were receiving were millions of dollars in donations. And ultimately, that is how they measure whether their goal is succeeding or not. So, again, the reason I want to talk about this, though, is because after acknowledging it. So if you go back, William McCaskill, you said there's another, who's the other gentleman involved in the beginning of EA, the founding of EA?
Well, there's, I think, several people who come before McCaskill. Like, I would point towards Toby Ord at Oxford and Peter Singer as both, like, effective altruists and stronger philosophers and writers than McCaskill. But McCaskill's like particular place of prominence in this story comes because in the United States, he acted as what a friend of the show, David Z. Morris, called an effective altruism power broker, where he was connected to so many of these groups, so many of these funders, and so many of these things that even in 2018, when effective altruist leaders were warned about some of Sam Bankman-Fried's improprieties, including his lies and sleeping with subordinates, it was McCaskill that, like, pushed to keep Sam Bankman-Fried centered in kind of this effective altruism community under this belief that, like, Sam Bankman-Fried would eventually be able to bring all of these other benefits to their broader community, that it was worth sacrificing and perhaps some of these earlier points in order to achieve this bigger goal. And that, I think, is kind of the rod at the heart of effective altruism, right? And, like, the reason it can be really hard to create, like, a coherent utilitarian moral philosophy is that it becomes really easy to use the ends to justify the means in a way that allows the means to just continue getting worse and worse and worse. And that is compounded if you effectively place an infinity on one side of your balancing scale by saying, no, this will kill all humans who will ever live in the future. And so represents the thing that it would be okay if we killed 90% of humans now, if it meant saving that entirety of humanity forward, right? It's possible to concoct that kind of justification when you get really into kind of the long-termist EA stances. And that has just obvious harms.
Well, it's funny that you say this because I'm looking. So just to be clear to everyone, McCaskill did address this right around when FTX collapsed back in November. So he did address this. And what he specifically said talks about what you are exactly suggesting. He says, for years, the EA community has emphasized the importance of integrity, honesty, and the respect of common sense moral constraints. If customer funds were misused, then Sam did not listen. He must have thought he was above such considerations. A clear-thinking EA should strongly oppose ends justify means reasoning. I hope to write more about this soon. In the meantime, here are some links to writings produced over the years. So he specifically says that ends justify the means isn't a healthy EA perspective. And yet, right, like it's hard for me to fathom EA existing if you don't have some level of ends justify the means. If you don't have some, well, you have to weigh out the good versus the bad. That's part of the whole thing. And that has to be met with ends justify the means, because otherwise you don't really have a philosophy at all. So yeah. It's a confusing kind of backwards statement to me.
I feel confident that that statement from McCaskill was not written by a philosopher, but by a public relations executive. Because like I kind of already alluded to here, like common sense, moral, whatever, isn't something that exists a priori. Right? Like the fundamental basis of the philosophy that drives this is that you determine what's moral by assessing, on balance, it's good and it's bad. And there's variations of utilitarianism, like rules-based utilitarianism, where you modify that statement to say this type of action as a rule is more good than bad. And that gets around some of the issues, but still fundamentally to presume that there was an obvious set of moral actions that the EA community agreed on and that Sam Bankman-Fried was clearly in violation of is particularly suspicious in light of the fact that Time reporting suggests that William McCaskill personally advocated to keep Sam Bankman-Fried in the community after he knew he was violating common sense moral frameworks by lying and sleeping with his subordinates.
Again, my issue with this statement now, and that he's back, that he has not addressed any of this, is that at the end of this statement in November, he specifically says, I was probably wrong. I will be reflecting on this in the days and months to come and thinking through what should change. He also says, if FTX misused customer funds, then I personally will have much to reflect on. Sam and FTX had a lot of goodwill, and some of that goodwill was the result of association with ideas I have spent my career promoting. If that goodwill laundered fraud, I am ashamed. So if he's so ashamed and he feels like his ideas about this philosophy indeed helped create this fraud, which is kind of like what is being suggested. I don't think anyone has denied that now at this point, that the philosophy helped drive their decision making. Why has he not said anything about it? Why is he not saying like, look, I know why, right? Like you said, there's legal reasons and other things. He was an unpaid advisor and all that for the Founders Fund. You know, he was involved in other ways. I am sure they've accepted who knows how many donations. So I'm sure there's some legal reason for this, but that's such a bullshit excuse, especially when your whole shit is about your philosophy. I'm not surprised. I'm not even disappointed. Like, why would a cult address allegations against the cult? I do just want to ensure that people keep this perspective in mind as he tries to come back into the public fold and the public sentiment.
We're talking about the philosophy of effective altruism and all these things, and taken just as like a philosophy, as a thing you're thinking about and perhaps using like personally to guide yourself, may have somewhat limited harms. I think what's particularly interesting in this case is how some of these social dynamics have developed around effective altruism. There's another community that calls themselves the rationalists, And many of the people in this community that congregates in places like Les Rungs consider themselves effective altruists. And like these communities often have a type of norm where you're expected to kind of present your ideas in a certain way, address other people's ideas in a certain way. And it's a sort of kind of epistemic detachment that you're supposed to maintain when you're interacting with it. And because of this, and many rationalists believe that they are uniquely rational, I think they've made themselves particularly vulnerable to people who are effective at using their rhetoric without necessarily believing the ideas, right? So EA and long-termism especially, and especially all this existential risk stuff, gives you a lot of language you can inherit to justify basically anything. And if you are the type of charismatic leader who can create a following, you now have all these language and tools. And because this community is supposed to be effectively leaderless, those who are the leaders who have accumulated that type of social power are able to wield it without any of the checks you would normally expect on the leader of a movement. So William McCaskill can, like, put this pressure on other EA people, keep Sam Bankman-Fried from getting kicked out of Alameda Research in 2018 because he personally believes in Sam Bankman-Fried, because he bought into Sam Bankman-Fried's pitch, and because of that ends up allowing this entity that had already violated this moral framework he tried to allude to grow to the point where they've committed a multi-billion dollar fraud. And in doing so, hurt the reputation of EA, hurt the reputation of long-termism, hurt the reputation of many of these charities and stuff that Sam Bankman-Fried was supposedly giving to. And despite the fact that all these rationalists and the effective altruism are supposed to be trying to think into the future and project this type of consequence so that they can, under their own moral philosophy, judge whether their actions are good or bad, so few seem to actually notice it was coming. And this is a point that I raised when we were talking with Mario, is that this moral philosophy, especially when you project it long term, and even more so when you're talking about like existential risk, requires you to make such a great number of predictions that go so far out into the future that I cannot plausibly believe that the errors propagated back that point mean you are actually making any kind of judgment whatsoever, right? Like, it is so easy to pick whatever numbers you want, assign basically whatever you want, and make your conclusion whatever you need it to be. And this is also why EA has been so aggressively adopted by the ultra wealthy, is because, again, it gives them the language and the rhetoric to justify whatever pet cause that's they right. want. And that's what this is. It's another case of billionaires trying to use philanthropy to preserve their own image of power.
And they can feel really good about themselves too, right? Like, if they donate to something that they're like instead of donating to, say, like a, I don't know, cancer research, or I don't know, something that's currently going on, if they're, let's say, donating to something that is coming up with a way for us to blow up asteroids or something, I don't know, like if they're coming up with some random threat that, like, we have NASA working on projects, we have the government that should be thinking about existential threats like that, not weird not-for-profits. It's very much ends justify the means. Oh, you're rich as hell. You want to spend your money the way you want to spend your money. And you want to get a pat on the back for spending it the way that you want to spend it. Not for spending it the way people want you to spend it, right? Like, it's purposely designed to be like, yeah, let's fucking dump money into an AI not-for-profit.
Okay. It also leads to some, like, really inexplicable actions. Like, we're talking about Sam Bankman-Fried and all this, and I think it was the Future Fund recently had one of their publications revealed where they talked about potentially buying a small island nation in order to survive some of these existential risks. And yes. Like, one, buying an island to form your own effective altruism nation is insane cult shit. Two, if you're worried about the future and how it's going to be in 100,000 whatever years, why the fuck are you buying a small island nation when sea levels are rising? Like,
yeah,
they become so focused on their pet issues, they lose the ability to actually assess other things.
Yeah, I want to actually, just for anyone who's unfamiliar with Nehru, Nehru is a phosphate rock island with rich deposits near the surface, which allowed easy strip mining operations for over a century. However, this has seriously harmed the country's environment, causing the island nation to suffer from what is often referred to as the resource curse. The phosphate was exhausted in the 1990s, and the remaining reserves are not economically viable for extraction. So I urge people, honestly, to look up pictures of Nehru and just see. It's just a rock that's been... It's what I just described. It's a rock that's been completely mined. So it's just holes everywhere where they've strip mined all of this phosphate out of it. It's tiny as hell. It has very little water. It's obviously, as you said, whether you believe in climate change or not, the ocean is rising. So it's going to possibly disappear. You're going to have to pour resources in this place just to keep it around. But you're also going to have to pour resources in. Where are you going to get water? I don't understand why you would pick this place of all the places in the world to set up shop. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I can tell you the reason, because they thought they were vulnerable, right? Nation first got their independence in 1968, finally separating themselves from the colonial powers who had basically stripped away most of the resources from the island. Over the next 25 years, before all the phosphate was no longer economically viable, they tried to save up enough in trust to kind of keep the nation solvent once these resources were gone. But that trust is being depleted now, and their role increasingly has become kind of an offshore financial haven, a center for money laundering and tax evasion and things like that.
And a prison.
Yeah.
They're literally a detention center.
And so the reason they picked this island is because they thought it would be vulnerable to their type of pitch.
Yeah. That the people are desperate.
Yeah,
I mean, there's really no other way to put it.
All their resources extracted from them by colonial powers, and we can roll up with billions of dollars, and they'll want us because we have the money they don't have.
And who can blame? You don't want to blame the Nehruians for this. They've been kind of screwed over for a very long time. I guess if I was running out of money in a trust fund that was my only source of GDP, then I might accept some crazy offer from some billionaires too. I don't know. It's just kind of gross that that's what the billionaires and EA people decided, right?
The idea of taking over governments is one that pops up in this community sometimes as well. And sometimes it'll be as explicit as saying we're going to buy an island. But even when they say that, sometimes what they mean is we're going to arrive in this place where most people don't have very much money. And we're going to have so much money that we so quickly accumulate influence and power. It's like we bought it, right? And this is kind of Leverage Research is another group that is broadly connected to the effective altruism and rationality movements. And members have reported that their stated mission was to change the world or take over the U.S. government using their philosophy by helping their members become these uniquely powerful achievers, uniquely good at achieving things. And by doing that, they would eventually elevate themselves all to positions of powers and be able to advance their own philosophy. There's a lot of echoes of that here with what Sam Bankman-Fried's Future Fund was planning. There's this kind of idea, and it reminds me a bit of Balaji's network state, of we are so powerful that we are so rich that we are powerful enough to force these small nations into serving our whims.
The main reason I brought this up, I see that I have a feeling in my heart that EA, the people involved at the heart of EA, of effective altruism, really want to make it a thing again. They want it to be relevant again. They want to start getting people to believe in it and agree to it again. And I just need people to remember that FTX and Alameda Research, while it seems like it was one man, we can sum it up as, SBF committing fraud. Okay. But it wasn't one man. It was a lot of people pushing this one man to do the things that he did. And that isn't to suggest he's innocent of that. He's going to go to prison for a long time. I have no doubt about it. But a lot of these people should go to prison for a long time, or at least not be as influential as they are. I want to see all the money that they gave for venture funds and stuff. I want to see every penny of that clawed back. I want everyone who got a political donation to have that money clawed back. I want every dime that they touched in some way, I hope, gets clawed back by the by the trustee. You know, I hope that they're able to do it. I hope that that happens. My fingers aren't crossed, but that is what I hope. Remember, please, like, EA had something to do with this, and these guys aren't taking responsibility for it, and we need to hold their feet to the fire. They're not going to do it themselves. These other people involved, whether it's like Justin Sun doing this weird stablecoin stuff with TrueUSD, or like, you know, obviously CZ and him were having their chats and doing their stuff. I don't know what the hell the deal was with that equity and all of that. Like, there's a million questions and a million people who helped contribute to the crisis and the collapse and the fraud. I think all of them need to be held responsible. We shouldn't forget that they were involved. Don't let them just stop and pretend like they don't even know who SBF is.
I just want to add before we wrap this up that broadly, I think the takeaway is that you should be immediately and deeply skeptical of someone who says that they are acquiring money, power, or influence because they think they are uniquely positioned to use those things to do good, right? Not that there are not people who can use their wealth or their power or whatever for good, but someone who sets out with a goal of accumulating those things and tells you that they're doing it for good is someone you should be deeply skeptical of.
Yeah. And I know that obviously Cascoin did deposit most of our Cascoin into FTX, and we did work directly with SBF for years, on the Cascoin project, but we are different than the rest of these people. And I don't want you to lump Cascoin in with these other projects. We're one of the good guys. And that's it. That's all I wanted to say.